Chapter 3. Bloody Daggers. The moon had left the night sky, and all was quiet and dark at Inverness. Yet the sound of feet walking in the dark corridor near the king's bedroom was heard by Banquo. "Who is there?" asked Banquo into the darkness. Macbeth stepped into the light of the torch that Banquo held. "A friend," said the host of the castle. "Are you not sleeping?" asked Banquo. "The king is in bed. I could not sleep because of a dream. I dreamed of the three weird sisters." Macbeth looked carefully at the man before him, but said nothing. Banquo said, "To you they have shown some truth." "I don't think of them," Macbeth lied. Then he added, "Someday we should spend some time talking about that business. If you can find the time..." "Any time you say will do." "Then, good night." At these words, Banquo returned to his room. Macbeth stood watching until the other was gone. As darkness filled the corridor again, a strange sight appeared before Macbeth's eyes. It was a dagger floating in the air. "Is this a dagger that I see before me?" Macbeth asked himself. "The handle is near my hand. Let me touch it. I cannot, yet I still see it. Are you but a dagger of the mind created by the heat of my brain? I see you as well as I see this dagger that I take from my belt. What is this? Now the ghostly dagger is covered with blood. There is no such thing. It is the bloody business that makes my eyes see this." The sound of a bell rang in the night. Macbeth turned his full attention to the real dagger in his hand. "I go, and it is done. The bell invites me. Hear it not, Duncan. It is the sound that calls you to heaven, or to hell." The master of Inverness had no need for a torch to light his way to Duncan's room. Passing silently through the dark corridors, he easily made his way there. Lady Macbeth stood waiting outside the king's door. With a nod, she told her husband that the guards inside were fully drunk and deeply asleep. Macbeth's wife waited in the corridor while her husband entered the room. After a few moments, Lady Macbeth heard her husband call out, "Who is there?" Taking a few steps away from the door, she thought to herself, "They are awake, and it is not done. I laid their daggers ready. He could not miss them. If Duncan had not looked so much like my father as he slept, I could have done it myself." Then Macbeth was in the corridor beside his wife. "I have done it," he told her. "Did you hear anything?"
"Didn't you speak?"
"When?"
"Just now."
"As I came out?"
"Yes."
"Who is in the next room?"
"Dunalbain."
"Look at my hands," said Macbeth. In his hands, he held two daggers. Even in the darkness, his wife could see the blood on them and on her husband's hands.
"I heard someone laugh in his sleep," said Macbeth. "Another cried, 'Murder!' They woke each other up. I stood and heard them."
"All is quiet. They must be sleeping now," Lady Macbeth told her husband.
"Don't think about it. It will drive you mad."
But her husband did not seem to hear. He said, "I heard a voice cry, 'Sleep no more. Macbeth murders sleep. Glamis has murdered sleep, and so Cotter shall sleep no more. Macbeth shall sleep no more.'"
Lady Macbeth tried to calm her husband.
"Worthy thane, you will lose your noble strength thinking such things. Go, get some water, wash your hands." Taking the two daggers from Macbeth, she asked, "Why did you bring these out of the room? They must lie there. Take them back. Be sure there is blood on the guards."
Macbeth shook his head. His eyes were wide and half white. "I will go no more. I am afraid to think of what I have done. I dare not look on it again."
"Give me the daggers," his wife said angrily. "The sleeping and the dead are like pictures. Only children fear such things. If he still bleeds, I'll put the blood on the guards. They must look guilty." With that, Lady Macbeth went back into Duncan's room.
Suddenly, a loud knocking was heard. In terror, Macbeth asked, "What is that knocking?" Then, seeing again the blood on his hands, he asked, "Can all the water of the ocean wash this blood from my hands? No, these hands would turn the whole blue ocean red." Lady Macbeth came out of the room and heard her husband. Holding her now bloody hands up to his face, she said, "Look, my hands are the color of yours. I would be ashamed if my heart were as white as yours." The loud knocking sounded again. "Someone knocks at the south gate," Lady Macbeth said. "We must go. A little water will clear us of this deed. How easy it is." The knocking came again. Macbeth called out, "Wake Duncan with your knocking. I wish you could." With an angry push, Lady Macbeth urged her husband down the dark corridor toward their bedroom. At that same time, a servant arrived at the south gate. He opened the door to find two nobles, Macduff and Lennox, standing there. The servant apologized for taking so long to answer the door. He blamed the wine from the feast of the night before. "Is your master awake?" asked Macduff. But before the servant could answer, Macbeth appeared. "Good morning, noble sir," said Lennox in greeting. "Good morning to you both," replied Macbeth. "Is the king awake, worthy thane?" asked Macduff. "Not yet. I'll bring him to you." "He ordered me to call on him," said Macduff. "Show me the room. I will get him." Macbeth then led the men to Duncan's bedroom. While Macduff went into the room, Lennox told Macbeth, "It was a terrible night last night. The wind almost blew the house down where we slept. It sounded like there were strange screams in the air. Some said they even felt the ground shake." "It was a rough night," Macbeth admitted. Suddenly, Macduff ran out yelling, "Horror! Horror!" "What's the matter?" asked Lennox. "Don't ask me to say it," said Macduff as he pointed at the bedroom door. "Go and look for yourselves." Lennox and Macbeth hurried into the king's bedroom. In the corridor, Macduff yelled for the rest of the castle to hear. "Murder and treason! Malcolm and Donalbain, wake up! Look at the image of ruin! Ring the bell!" As the castle bell began to ring the alarm, Lady Macbeth arrived at the king's bedroom door. "What is this business?" she asked Macduff. Macduff did not want to speak of what he had seen to Lady Macbeth. He was glad to see Banquo arrive just at that moment. Turning to Banquo, Macduff said, "Our royal master is murdered." Macbeth and Lennox suddenly appeared out of the king's bedroom. Malcolm and Donalbain also came into the corridor out of their nearby room. "What's wrong?" Donalbain asked.
"Your royal father is murdered," Macduff answered.
"By whom?" Malcolm asked.
"His guards," Lennox said. "Their hands and faces had his blood on them. So did their daggers, which we found beside them. They only stared and said not a word." "I could not control my anger and killed them there and then," confessed Macbeth. "Who wouldn't have done as much? Anyone with a heart of love and the courage to make love known would have done the same." Lady Macbeth looked as if she might fall to the floor. The men agreed to take her to her room and then meet again to talk more. However, the two princes briefly remained in the corridor to speak quietly together after the other men left.
"What will you do?" Malcolm asked his younger brother.
"Let's not meet with them. There is danger here. I will go to England."
"And I to Ireland," replied Donalbain. "If we are not together, it will be safer for both of us. Where we are, there are daggers in men's smiles."
"To our horses," said Malcolm. "Let us get away quickly."
Then the two princes fled Inverness without a word to anyone in the castle. This was a mistake. To others, it then appeared that the two young princes had planned the murder of their father. Macbeth and his wife helped spread the lie far and wide. Many came to believe that, with the help of the guards whom Macbeth had killed, Malcolm and Donalbain had murdered the king.